According to this little piece I'm reading here on InfoWars, every human emotion now classified as a mental disorder in the new psychiatric manual DSM-5. Well, I don't know what I'm feeling. Do you know what you're feeling? So I suppose that means we're completely normal if we're feeling nothing. Oh, I get it. All right. We'll be back with Stephen Quayle in just a moment, but I would admonish you, suggest, and otherwise advise, counsel you to stop by coasttocoastam.com. Interesting stories for you. If you're new to the program, which certainly we hope you are, and we'll hang around with us. You know, information on the guests and information on the hosts and lots of stuff in the highlights section that you may find of interest. So, and one last thing, and that is thank you very, very much. As the radio landscape changes, you have changed with it. It has shifted. You have shifted. And thanks very much to everybody who's become a Coast Insider, a valuable service. 3 years of archive to shows, over 1,000. I am sure you will like it. And it is cheap. With me, I don't know about you, but with me, price is no object as long as it's cheap. We'll be back with Stephen Quayle in just a moment. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, come back to the program. That was a combination of, well, we're in here with Stephen Quayle, and welcome back to the program. Okay, Stephen, we were talking about mind games, mind manipulation, mind-numbing techniques. And then I just spotted this thing. It's from a few days ago, actually. It's from, well, 2 days ago. Every human emotion now classified as a mental disorder. So, you know, man, there's no place to run to. And what would you do when you got there?
I think there is a place to run to, because I quote to myself, people send me emails all the time and say, how can I keep from going crazy? Because there is no place to run to. And I can say this, there is no better blueprint for what's happening. And I make no apologies than the prophecies of Daniel in the Old Testament, the absolute statement of Matthew 24 and Luke 21 of Jesus telling everybody what's going to be like in the end times. Then you jump to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation isn't a revelation of bad stuff. It contains that, but it's a revelation of Jesus that God gave to his servant John on the island of Patmos, okay? So the point is that there's a secret place, and that secret place is, and I make no apologies for this, Psalm 91, because people have got to have something bigger and better than the promise of lying devil politicians, bigger and better than the rifle and the magazine they have. And by the way, I'm not making fun of anybody, but what I'm saying is that, you know, the statement, there are no atheists in the foxholes. We're at a time right now where we're talking mostly about things we can see, things we can hear, wars, all the different weapon systems. There was a time when I used to read Jane's weapon systems for easy reading. I gave that up 10 years ago so I could tell what missile was going to do what to what.
I had all that stuff, International Defense Review, Jane's Defense Weekly, all that stuff.
It just made your head hurt and you go, yeah, I need to bathe in something, because it just made you crazy. But the thing that we need to contact, or get, I guess, in contact with the people and have them embrace, is the fact that everything they think, do, and say is not only being monitored, but now we're going to have drones that can basically fly over you and buzz you, take a brain scan, and then change whatever thinking they want.
Here's the thing, Steve. People send emails, and I read them as we go through. There are a lot of them come in, and they're like, this guy's a science fiction writer, right? It's like, no, dude, he's not. What people do not understand, and this is really true, this isn't like some mumbo-jumbo bloody nonsense bollocks. It's true. The technology that exists today and is being used in all kinds of products it's 40 years, minimum 30 years ahead of everything that we out here in normal land, regular old citizens, not specialists, just in the world. What we think of as current, we're behind minimum 3 decades. So this thing about a drone flying by and hitting you with a brain scan, that sounds like science fiction. It's not. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, the article's on my website. I'm quoting Wired magazine in their Danger Room, or their new title for it. I put up Defense Review. In my line of work and in writing and investigation, when I spend time to write books on this stuff and have 800 footnotes, the science fiction realm, let me just address that, is nothing more than the intelligence community positioning thoughts and thought control in the masses through mass media, i.e. film and television, the old days radio. So everything that I'm talking about, if someone wanted to be scared to the point that they probably wanted to go and get adult-shaped Huggies, okay, they would, and I'm not making fun of anybody who has incontinence or anything, is the fact that if you start to understand transhumanism, your days, my days are numbered, and the very people that want to kill everybody else off the planet certainly want to make sure they stay alive. So we're talking about the total enslavement, the Skynet, the Internet, the Electronet, everything that we relate to. Now, you saw Verizon. They want a new TV box. Well, that's why the government wanted HD TV in the first place, because not only are you watching TV, it's watching you. When I first started talking about that on Coast years ago, people said I was crazy. I could put up the patents for it. They still said I was crazy. People still don't believe in chemtrails. And there are 100 patents, I think, on my website. You can go to my search engine and type it in. But
easy.
I put up 100 patents of weather control, and people didn't believe it.
I always get you jacked up. I'm sorry.
Yep. No. I'm sorry, John. You have a nice demeanor. What I'm up against is the clock, and the clock is ticking on everyone. For instance, food. You try and get it across to people that the food availability is diminishing. You can read 100 or 1,000 articles on drought, and still the Big Mac or the Golden Arches or whatever they call whatever fast food, that's still in the psyche of most people. The people that look at human dynamics in the situation with the hurricane on the East Coast. People knew. They had plenty of time to get ready. They could have vacated, and they stayed in their normalcy bias, in denial, and guess what? It destroyed either their stuff, their hope, or their future. And that's all the prep movement is. It's just like food. And this is critical. Places that normally seem able to provide during the food chain are dependent upon production. And then it's really dependent upon transportation.
Absolutely. A two-day trucker strike would do it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would do it, and there will be a trucker strike. Gee, what happens when the Persian Gulf finally goes up? As you and I are on the radio, talk radio tonight, what is it, the 16th of December? It just turned over. Right now, Iran is saying they're going to move if we move Patriot missiles into Turkey. Oh, gee. People don't understand. Iran is an empire. I'm not embellishing them. But if they know their history, ancient history, Babylon fell to a combination of the Medo-Persian Empire. And people argue with me. I'll just throw one out there. We are either the financial Babylon, the United States, or daughter of Babylon, as John Price writes in his book. And I've stated that, and I haven't changed my position for 40 years. Because when you take a look at what America's done, and I can't sanctify, justify, or even begin to embrace. I don't give a darn about what the Pentagon says is collateral damage. They infuriate me with that statement because those are human beings and those are human lives. And by the way, they've got the precision to take a horseman or somebody's riding a camel off the camel's back, and they don't even have to worry about the camel dying. You know, there'd be no concern there. But the point is that we are at a time now where the American people had better understand we are in the sights of the globalists. You have already been pillaged. You've already been plundered. And one thing, John, that I can't stress enough, 4 years ago when talking on this radio program, we were talking about IRAs, KEOs, 401Ks, defined benefit plans. Now, after the first of the year, watch what happens to those, because the plan is to turn it into a national pension backed by the Treasury, and you'll never have the rights to your principal. And I argue with financial planners day in and day out over that. And I can even quote, you know, show them the law and the proposals, but people don't pay attention. And if they don't pay attention, they're going to have their livelihoods and their retirement and everything taken down. Now, I twist people's arms. I've actually pleaded and begged with people, and then they cry me and start, you know, claiming that it's too much for them to handle. The reason the globalists succeed, here's the golden rule of those who have the gold. Gold moves from weak hands to strong arms. And strong arms have the ability to put whatever leverage is necessary to manipulate the gold prices, to manipulate and the silver prices. But at some point, the manipulation stops when they quit playing the game, and we're seeing it across the board. So getting back to food, somebody says, what's the single most important survival item after your brain? It's food, because everything that we do centers around it. And if one of the famous historic figures would sell his birthright, Esau, for a bowl of pottage, what would you do? And that's what, see, this is the thing. I want to break the leverage against people that they're going to use. And by the way, just come to the FEMA camps. You'll get 3 squares. There'll be MREs. And we'll give you a nice place to stay.
Okay, now everybody at this point, or not everybody, many people are completely agree with you and with me on some things. But the ones who do not, let them just ask themselves a question. What does it tell you when you have these continual broadcasts sensationalizing? What does someone do when they commit suicide? Typically, either quietly, but if they're the exhibitionist type, it's going to be off the Empire State Building, off the Eiffel Tower, something, attract a crowd, they're going to jump. We've seen it, the classical thing before. If people know that if they commit this ultimate act of selfishness, they know that this act is going to be shown and talked about all over the place. My question is, why would you encourage that? But they do.
Right.
So let's just segue quickly into this, and then I'll let you run with it, because I know you will, and because I know you can. What does it tell people when the government is clamoring for disarmament, getting more buddy-buddy with the United Nations all the time, and then allows it to be released into the public knowledge that billions of rounds of ammunition are being purchased by Homeland Security, which smacks of fatherland and motherland, okay? Who do these people out there who are in denial over this, which is nothing but blanking of unsavory facts, who do you think this ammunition is for? Well, they're just the government. They need ammunition. For what? The Germans, as Turkish said in Snatched? The Chinese? The Russians? No. It's for you. Go ahead and run. I'm done.
I will, let's just say this, I will pace a little slower, okay? The idea is this, is that, to quote, do not ask whom the bell tolls for, it tolls for thee. Famous what? Hemingway quote?
Yep.
And don't ask who the FEMA camps are for, they're for you. Look at the response that was given to the Sandy victims, Hurricane Sandy victims. FEMA was told to go bowling? They couldn't even have water present. Now, they have the ability, they have the knowledge, they have the force. What they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is group dynamics. If you have that idea that someone's going to take care of you, the battle's already lost. But if you understand that you have the ability to anticipate what, John, you're trying to get people to see. What are the ramifications of going along with the status quo?
Well, Stephen, wouldn't you think that there would have been, like, look at these fleets of helicopters carrying blankets, water, batteries, and everything they can? I didn't see any.
Well, there wasn't any. It's simple. There wasn't any. And that's the same thing. Why wasn't every veterans or VFW or whatever, American Legion outpost, why did they not rally and hold their even marches, and I'm talking nonviolent marches, peaceful marches, and say, we are the ones that gave you this country. How dare you call us terrorists? How dare you take away our rights that we fought for you? You see?
I mean, seriously, how insulting is that? I mean, these guys and girls are over there. Some of them are on their fourth tours.
I know a certain pilot that's had 8 tours.
Well, you know, 2 tours of Vietnam was pretty rough. 3 tours is like, phew, you're hardcore. 4 tours?
And after 4, the old statement is somebody wants you dead.
Kind of looks that way. Suicides. I actually heard, Stephen, that suicides outnumber combat fatalities.
That is
such a thing even possible?
Yes. None, it's happening so greatly. And see, this is, again, this is something that I want to share with people. If those, we have a lot of veterans, because I have a ministry to veterans. No veteran has to pay for my book, because I want to say thank you for your service to this country. But the guy that can help you with PTSD, with no drugs, with absolute the most amazing results, is Dr. Paul Hagstrom. Now, if you are a vet and you suffer from that, you can get a hold of him at lifeskillsinternational.org, LifeskillsIntl.org, and order the book, because it will help you. He told me an amazing thing. Do you know what he told me? He said everybody that he's treated in the military that has PTSD has basically severe wounds of childhood that have affected the reactions to the world around them. In other words, they went in flawed, and the multiplied misery and the horrific imagery just triggered. That's the thing when you have a response to something so horrible. And I can tell you this, I have interviewed him, I think 6-9 hours now. I have met him. What a marvelous man. So there are people out there for answers, and there are people out there that are saying, don't kill yourself. There's no reason to jump on the 21st. The point that we're trying to make, this is how you maintain. Listen, we got to love one another. Everybody else hates us, so the people better start loving one another. And when if somebody says, well, this person's a this American, whenever you hyphenate American, you take away what we've done. That's why there's so much racism and bigotry by the people who are fomenting revolution. When you see the front of Drudge under the, right before the presidential vote and final count saying we're going to take our revenge, good night. A house divided cannot stand.
That's what I meant a while ago, Steve. I'm not feeling the love from people whom I think we all made them successful. And it's like, why bash any group? Why not just stay out of it?
Well, what Belafonte say, he should be arrested immediately. Immediately. But, hey, guess what? You can say anything you want as long as you're a communist. Yeah, if you hate God, all the favor, you know, if you're absolutely putting out the most profane movies, the most disgusting subject matter, you're elevated as a hero. Or if you're bathing in human blood, you're singing your way to the top of the charts, you know? And some of that stuff makes me gag.
You know, man, back in university, I never really got over it that when some obtuse socio/communist-type Fabian putz would start espousing some, I mean, just so transparent. Apparently, it's just magic horse fertilizer. I would just see this, like this delighted look, the faces of the professors, 9 out of 10, just suffused with approval over this moronic assertion that this person was doing, which was in diametric opposition to anything I understood to be American values. This used to be a country where you could pursue your life, your liberty, and happiness. That's what it was about. Buy of and for the people. And what is it now? We're the most surveilled country in the world. We have more people in prison than anywhere in the world. I don't get this, except you go back to scripture and the part that says, lean not on your own understanding. What a good idea, unless you want to just make yourself nuts.
Well,
take 30 seconds. We got the break coming up, so go ahead.
Okay. You asked, you know, the American way, what the pursuit of happiness, the freedom. Now it's, I'll give you an answer to that. It's lies, lawlessness, and revolution. You know, it used to be truth, justice, and the American way. Now it's lies, lawlessness, and revolution. And guess what? The fruit of revolution is always death of the innocents. And that's what we stand against tonight. And that's what we stand for tonight. We're saying enough of the slaughter of the innocents. My goal is I'd just like to see those guys all go into the giant arena and seriously blow each other's brains out, but leave the people alone.
Yeah, people don't understand these things really occurred. These aren't just fanciful little movies. The blood sports. Oh, yes. Bring them into the arena. We'll let the humans kill each other. We will set beasts upon them, and we will exalt those who survive. They will be our heroes because they slaughtered the most humans. I mean, seriously. Again, want a 2012 awakening? Well, just wake up. Participate. Stand for something. for it is the doom of men that they do not. We'll be back. This is Coast. All right, let's get to our little floating break here, and we'll float into it and float back out of it and float on off into the ether with Steve Quayle and some good information for you. But again, it's up to you to verify, vet, validate, and then take it unto yourself to use it as you will. You know, somebody sent an email a while ago and said, drones, for instance, these wars provide a testing ground for bringing domestically. I think X is right. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. You know, Steve Quayle, we talk about a lot of stuff on Coast, and it's, you know, some of the most well-known talk show people out there, talk show guys and some girls, is like, oh, they're just entertainers and they're just using politics to, you know, as their meat and potatoes of their act. And so there's a cool guy out there. He shoots an email to me every once in a while named Phil. And he's like, FEMA camps to do what? And it's like, well, neighborhoods that burn down or are burned down, entire, you know, blocks of blocks that have been, torched because of civil unrest. I mean, what do they put the people in the FEMA camps for? What did they do? Is it in their own best interest that they go there, or are they forced there? Are these resistors, revolutionaries, perceived threats, potential terrorists, or just victims? I mean,
no, all of the above.
Okay.
All of the above. Years ago, a certain gentleman who was with the Environmental Protection Agency, by the way, he was murdered for the red list, the blue list, and the green list. And I'm talking now probably 15 years ago. When he first brought that out, most people couldn't even believe in it. But he was talking about the incinerators that were being placed around the country for, quote, toxic waste, hazardous waste, burning it out and stuff. But he said, Steve, within the real plans of this is that, obviously, if you notice where these things are placed, they're always close to railroad tracks. And we're talking about the real purpose of a lot of it. The red list are people that are to be picked up and terminated. By the way, those are the people that are already plugged into the computers. If you ever had a census taker come to your home or your cabin or whatever, your apartment, and punch into his little GPS, you can pretty much assume that you're on the list. If you got a blue dot or a red dot on your mailbox or on the asphalt in front of you, let me make it easy for everyone. The red list are those deemed incorrigible. Talk show hosts, gun owners, veterans, people who are outspoken, people who are politically conservative, people who are against, you know, they go on and on and on. The red list are those who are to be terminated within the first 30 days. Those people don't go in the FEMA camps. The blue lists are those who are law enforcement, who are military, that cooperate with the order to go and do the red list. In other words, to assassinate, exterminate, whatever you want to call it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the man that gave this information is dead, murdered. So the point is that there's no point in trying to embellish it or to make it anything less than it is. And then the green list are those who go into the camp. Those are the ones who will be the re-educated. They end up being, call them what they are, they end up being serfs, drones, and I coined a term 20 years ago that I think is so appropriate now. They become techno serfs. In other words, not they're going out on their boards at Waimea, but the point being is that they become just the tenders of the tills of the wealthy. And when you see the Global 21 plan, the Agenda 21 plan, the rewildings, I mean, we just saw some idiot talk about, well, you know, farms are really dead and we don't need the rural America anymore. Well, he can go and kiss whatever's you know what's in the burrow barn, and because he's acting like a horse's you know what. The point is that people are they don't understand the globalists hold you in such contempt, and when I say contempt, I'm talking murderous, assassinating contempt. Everybody has what's called an assassination algorithm. Those on the red list, and basically they qualify you under you know thousands of different criteria. But the point is they've even got it down to killing by mathematical imperative. So when I hear about drones, unless you've ever had one over you, you know, at a couple hundred feet, people say, oh, will we do that? I can show you the Air Force statement on my website where they were saying, yeah, we basically follow people and blah, 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 give our pilots orders to follow this guy, to follow that guy, to train them. No, what they're doing is pre-programming their fire control systems. So the point is that the only way I can know any of this stuff, John, and this is a good point to make, is that I have been trying to be faithful to my calling to be as a watchman. And again, as I've stated, a watchman sees things that are coming from afar off. Now, the further they are away, the less the people will even consider what you're saying. As they start to see them becoming closer and closer and closer, these being the vents, and people starting to disappear, and the society they used to believe in, it's okay when Brother Jones's house is taken, but when your house is taken, it's a crime. It's okay when something happens to somebody in Africa, but when it happens to you, it's a crime. We make so many mistakes that we don't understand, and I believe in the ultimate value of human life. Let me make that clear. And I'm not the guy putting tags on it. And I'm praying, I literally do pray this, that even Latino gangs and the black gangs and the white gangs and the Aryan Nation guy, that they're finally going to see who's playing them against each other. And the bottom line is, if anybody wants to see this, I'm using it. The reason I overuse bottom line is because when I used to have to read P&Ls, profit and loss statements, financial statements, and balance sheets, all I used to care about was the bottom line, because everything above the bottom line draws you to the final conclusion. So I apologize that I do overuse that statement, but if you had the key, that, you know, highlight the key statement, that's what it is. So the red list, the blue list, the FEMA camps are for those who they will displace. And what most people don't understand, and this was heard in the clear by some of the hams, hearing some generals in Canada talking about how stupid the Americans are, that when they go into the camps, all of their property and goods become the spoils of war. And by the way, that's how they're going to pay all these guys, John. In other words, hey, go over to John's house, take his plane, go over to Steve's house, take his car. Well, I'm sure they know what I own, because everything is, you know, on somebody's, list someplace. So that's what they're doing. That's what the FEMA camps are for. And the tragedy is most of the people who have the ability to see, act, and speak up, say nothing, do nothing, and think that if they can pull the blinds down and go to sleep one more day, well, that's one more day they don't have to deal with it. It doesn't make a point to pull the blinds down when your whole bloody house is blown up around you.
Well, that's true.
It would be a cartoon. That would be horrible. And I want to share something. This is critical. I've talked a lot about the unseen world. All I'm going to say about December 21st, and all the occultists know this, if the Black Awakening is coming. When you get people on, and there have been people on Coast talking about the demon gates, or Tom Horn and I talking about stargates, the thing that people don't recognizes, no one made that clearer than Jesus, okay? What does Jesus know about stargates? He said that the gates of hell will not prevail against his body. And the gates, a gate is either something that keeps something from coming through or holds something back. Well, unfortunately, all these guys that are playing around with CERN and playing around with all the colliders don't realize the portals they're opening. And but forgive me, I want to clarify that. The baseline scientists don't understand. The secret scientists who are running that do understand. And when you get any ancient place around the world where everybody's going to gather for December 21st, there's a reason, because the gates are opening wide. And the book I wrote, Angel Wars, and I got to just say this because they sell out so fast, Angel Wars is probably the most important book I've ever written to prepare people for what's coming down the pike. It lays it out from start to finish. And once you have a grasp of that, you can really begin to understand what is going to be our future.
Well, I guess it's about time to just make this suggestion, and that is that I would submit to you that whoever's faith is the strongest will be the one who survives, whomever that is.
Well, I would agree, because you quoted the scripture earlier, and see, it's interesting. Solomon's a wise guy, and he got in trouble when God gave. Here's a fascinating thing. Most people don't know this about Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man in the world, so much so that God said there'd never be anyone like him. But the fact that Solomon got, and just be blunt, he got sexually beguiled and he started worshiping demons. And he did not understand that when God gave him the gift that he'd be smarter than any man, God didn't tell him he'd be smarter than any of the fallen angels or any of the demons. A demon is a disembodied spirit. So I have to quote the scripture to me. The way that's right for a man does not lie within me. I told somebody, don't put me out in a field where it says mines, because I'll get on a pogo stick and I'll start bouncing around, and guess what? You'll know where the mines are. But God in his mercy has given us a roadmap to the future, and by turning to him, I don't care what you say, there are battles that are won by a person's faith. That's because God is greater than our limitations. And some people get really mad when I say that. Well, I like what you say, but I don't want to hear what about your Jesus. I said, listen, it's not my Jesus. When people say, how do you handle the stress? I tell anybody, the amount of knowledge, with much knowledge comes much sorrow. And I weep for this country. I have been weeping. And I share that from the fullest heart. And it tears me up. What's
Think about that.
Country, but it tears me up what's going to happen to the people.
Stephen, who could write such a thing? With much knowledge comes much sorrow.
The smartest guy in the world.
Well, I mean, really, and
Solomon,
you remember
he went on,
he also said that it's really best for those who never existed, when he was, you know, just so depressed and despondent over all the iniquity.
Yep.
You know, that happens no matter what. The injustice and the murder. It's like, you know, it's not enough that it happens. It's not enough that it happens to others. It's not enough that it happens to you. It's like, it would really be better if you just had not been born at all, and then that would be the happiest state to be in.
And
why would somebody write something like that from that long ago?
I think when you're looking at the Word of God, God's Word is eternal and it's timeless. It applies to all people at all times, everywhere.
That's what I'm getting at. It's like, it's undeniable.
Right.
I mean, after a while, you go, okay, how did you phrase it, the unusual life of Jesus, you know, and the history of an ancient people or something to that effect. It's like, at first you go, yeah, okay. But then, as you begin to ponder the depth of these statements that are thousands of years old, and yet apply as accurately as if they were written yesterday.
That's just
strange.
It's divine. It is absolute. There's only one who can declare the end from the beginning, and that's the one. Jesus made an interesting statement. He said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And it's fascinating to me that I remember when Michael Drosnin wrote the Bible Code and all that stuff came out, equidistance letter sequencing, and some people believed it, some people didn't believe it and stuff. But how do you speak to three-dimensional beings about 12 dimensions or 14 dimensions? How do you speak to someone who's locked into time and eternity? I know one of the wealthiest men in Montana made a statement. He said, I don't need God. He said, I got my heaven right here. I said, when you draw your last breath, all your stuff goes, pal. And I said, and then you're confronted with eternity. I said, money can't buy you love, and it can't buy your way out of the fires of hell. And people say, I don't believe in hell. It doesn't matter. It exists. And the point is, you can go on YouTube and you see all the multitudinous visions, or the multitude of visions. You can see the multitude of visions of heaven. I got news for you. Look at both and decide which place is better. And John, look, we're in a time now where everything that has been stable, everything that has been foundational to this country, the peace we once endured because everybody was an American, they weren't an Afro-American, they weren't an Irish-American, they weren't an Italian-American, they weren't anything but Americans. And we had such a beautiful presentation to the future. But if you want to look at America in decline, you can just look at anything. Look at the city of Detroit. Look at what's happening to our infrastructure.
It's the nation against nation thing.
Absolutely. The word nation, by the way, means ethnos against ethnos.
Yes, that's exactly what it means.
In Greek.
Yeah, we're not a nation. We are a country.
Yes.
Seriously.
And so that's why I weep. That's why I literally want to vomit on the vomit brokers. In case anybody's never heard my definition of vomit broker, it's mainstream media, okay? They can't even come up with something different than fiscal cliff. Do you guys get it? You're programmed automatons that are basically saying the party line over and over and over. So when the money goes over the cliff, it's not those dirty, lying, cheating, filthy bankers. It's guess what? It's a fiscal cliff. They're doing a sleight of hand on you, and they're absolutely deflecting where the blame should go. So now the cyber attacks on the banks. I have friends that write in that world that literally write software. A friend of mine's friend wrote the most sophisticated software, worldwide banking, and when he tells me it's not millions disappearing, it's billions, and it's 100 billions, people say, well, how do you know that? Tell us their name. And my answer to them is, no way. I don't want any more blood on my hands from people that have to be secured. I tell people, too, look, if you're a Christian, take it to the Lord. If you're not, take it to history. The point is that the idea is that denial will get you nothing but dead sooner.
Well, that's absolutely true. And once again, denial is just the blanking of unsavory facts. This is not fiction. Stephen, I don't mind going out on the clothesline with you. I never have. And I mean, when I started, you know, I was really stiff when I started doing the hosting thing 6 years ago, whenever it was, almost seven. And then I was able to kind of let it out with you on the program. But the thing is, and I like to quote Voltaire, and I do it a lot. Remember when he was on his deathbed and the priest asked him if he would like to renounce Satan, and he said, this is no time to go around making enemies. Well, that's Voltaire, and he was extraordinarily French, you know, which has a lot of no offense against Frenchmen, but you do have very interesting ways of putting things.
Voltaire also died screaming. There's a wonderful book out there that I would encourage everybody to read called Voices from the Edge of Eternity.
Yep.
It's basically a redo of Gottschall, G-O-T-S-C-H-I-L-L's dying words. And yep. When you watch how these men who used to mock the living God die, even with one, I forget which one right now off the top of my head, and I apologize, John, but even watching the demons trying to, or not trying, but coming and taking the guy literally straight to hell, and he absolutely is dying. Now, look, I'm not saying this to scare people. So when people want to sit around and invoke the powers of darkness, if there are powers of darkness, you've got to ask yourself, even those of you that are in that field, then is not the opposite true? Because you can't have the yin without the yang.
That's right.
You can't have the good without the evil. So it's fascinating to me what people are believing. And again, I want to just give out my website, because Steve Quayle, stevequalle.com. You can order my books online, and I put up a very important new part on my website that's critical. It's called the Q Alerts, lower right-hand corner of my website, because that's where I post the most pertinent data that comes in 24/7. Now, I do try and sleep 4 hours a night, so it's not, you know, there are times when I'm not posting 24/7, but
oh, yeah.
I think we're giving people the most real information, and John, I just want to thank you so much, because we're talking about stuff that affects everything, including our children and our grandchildren's future. And even my 24-year-old pilot son said, what is the future? And I said, the future isn't what it holds. And I said, the future is what God determines as you hold on to him. My future is only holding on to Jesus. I don't have anything else. I don't have any plans. But I can tell you this. The same God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and delivered Daniel will deliver his people if they will simply call upon his name. I can tell you, I don't have to be strong in all areas, probably strong and so, or very weak in most. But the bottom line is God's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor is his ear deaf that he cannot hear. And I just know the scripture, call on me in the day of trouble and I'll hear. I tell everybody the best prayer anybody can pray right now is help. And that's an anachronism for his everlasting presence, his everlasting promise, his everlasting protection, his everlasting provision. And I can go on and on and on. But that simple word, help God, will get you more peace and more if you're honest. Now, you can basically try and be smart, Alec. But the point is that help is the most wonderful prayer in the universe, because it brings the King of Glory on the spot in all his triumph and all his majesty and all his power.
Stephen. You're doing good work, man. Thanks for coming on the program. It's always a A pleasure and a privilege to speak with you. And I know there are a lot of people out there in Coastland that that like it too. All right.
Thank you, John.
Take care of yourself. Well,
thank you very much.
All right. Well, that's Stephen Quayle. You know, Jesus said one other thing. Two thirds shall perish. I will bring the remaining third through the fire. Just saying. This is Coast.